Turn in your Bibles, Isaiah 66. Well, you know, we've been talking about the kingdom of God within, and just recently, as we were talking about how to keep the word in your heart and come into identification with the Holy Ghost in your heart, the acknowledging of every good thing that's in you. And then I had that revelation about the kingdom of God is at hand. And David said, because he's at my right hand. It's when the kingdom of God comes here, see. And now I'm realizing what God wanted all along is the removal of the distance. The distance is created by our perception, what we've been taught, and sin, and a lot of things. Not just sin. Your perception of God, too, will create a lot of distance. Your condemnation, guilt, and shame, those things will create a tremendous distance between you and God. Disobedience, there's a lot of things you got to grow up into, but we're going to teach you how to bypass a lot of things. Amen? Get right where you need to be. Now, the Bible says, present your body a living sacrifice. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed through the renewing of your mind. Now, what I'm going to talk to you about tonight is going to take a definite renewing of the mind. I'm going to challenge your mind in some ways that may not have been challenged, and your mind can definitely get in the way of this process because of your preconceived idea, and you're going to have to shift some things like I did, and it comes through a renewing process of meditating and practicing, or just working your faith. We're endeavoring to build the garden of God within. We're finding out that everything God is, he's here. He's come to you. And that's the key. Now, let's look at Isaiah 66:1. And I'm going to talk to you about the Father now. How many of you know Father is in heaven? Amen. But I'm going to teach you how to connect with Father in you. Because Father's come inside you. Father lives in you too. You'll be amazed. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, His Word, the kingdom of God, the fountain of God of John 4. And the will of God all live inside you. I was talking to somebody about the capacity God gave us of the human heart to receive and contain Him. Your heart could not contain Him like that in a spiritually dead state. There was no way. You had to be born again in order for your heart to contain God like that. And it's a huge place. But it's very small if you give no attention to it. In fact, you can go 30, 40 years and most of what lives in there you might not even contact because you either don't know how or the enemy has blinded your understanding to what's there. But once you start coming in contact with it, it'll start opening up and it'll start growing magnificently in there, and light will come forth on the inside of you in a big way. Isaiah 66:1 says, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. And where is the house that you build unto me? Where is the place of my rest? For all those things that my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is a humble and broken spirit that trembleth at my word. He's asking a question, where is my dwelling place? Heaven's my throne. Where is the place of my rest? Every one of you, there's nothing like home. If you ever travel out for a while, after you're done traveling, you can't wait to get home. There's nothing like home. Amen. God always wanted a home. You have to understand God. He was not satisfied with the separation. He was not satisfied with the offering of blood of bulls and goats. He was not even satisfied having a covenant people. He wanted the whole time from the foundation of the world to live inside you. That's where the Father wanted to call home. There's only one person in the known universe could make that happen, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. There was nobody else that could make that happen. That's why he said, Father, I come to do thy will. In the volume of the book, it was written of me. I come to do thy will. I'll take away the first. I will establish the second. And I will make a way for you to come and live in the hearts of people. Because that's where he wanted to dwell. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, go to 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. He goes, what agreement had the temple of God with idols? He says, for you are the temple of the living God. Everyone say, I am the temple of the living God. Do you know the temple is where God dwelt? The temple is where God spoke from. The temple is where he called Moses into when he wanted to talk to him. The temple of God was not content to dwell in buildings. Even David knew it. David says, there's no building can really contain you, but I'd like to build one anyway, because he knew under his dispensation that God could not inhabit the hearts of people. So he built a dwelling place for the ark until the one would come where opened the door for the ark to come inside the temple of his people. God wants to dwell in you. And he's not just like, yeah, I have Jesus in me. No, he wants to manifestly dwell in you. He wants the dwelling glory of his presence to fill you. He wants to fill your temple with his love. He wants to fill your temple with his glory. He wants to fill your temple with his power. And he does all this through the Lord Jesus Christ because he is in you. Look what he says here. As God had said, I must have said this 100 times a day. I will dwell in them. I will, look at this, walk in them. Do you know what that means? God walking in you. The same way he walked in the Lord Jesus. You know, Jesus told them constantly, I do not come in my name. I come in my Father's name. And Philip asked him, he said, show us the Father and it'll suffice. And he says, Philip, how can you even ask a question like that? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He says, for it's the Father that's dwelling in me, that's doing the works. I don't come in my own name. He said, the Son of Man in that dispensation could do nothing of himself. Once he paid the price, ascended to the right hand of God, the Father ended up giving him everything. And now we go in his name, but both of them are in us. And Jesus wants to do it all over again. The Father wants to indwell the hearts of his people. Indwell with tangible glory, indwell with tangible love, indwell with tangible power. But if you think that's just going to happen for you, it's not. You're going to have to get in touch with where that is and how to get it. Amen. Glory to God. First way you do that is you got to be taught and reminded, because the enemy's real good. See, if you can't touch God here, if you don't know how to get in touch with God here, then he's going to be up here. And when he's up there, he's going to be in a place of distance. Once that distance is created, either by sin, rebellion, disobedience, lack of understanding, guilt, shame, condemnation, once that distance is there between you and God, that's the very problem. That's why we don't have answered prayer. And because of that, that's when the discouragement sets in. That's where the running sets in. That's where fear sets in, anxiety sets in. And that's when you start eating from the world again, because you don't know how to eat from him. You ever got discouraged as you try to run into God and you couldn't find him? He wasn't just all there. You wanted him. See, your faith grows. Amen. Your faith grows into it. And we're going to show you that progression, some things that are necessary. As your faith grows, you got to, he's already there. Believe it or not, since the day you were born again, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, the kingdom of God, and the well, spring of life, were all placed in you. Isn't that amazing? How you can go all these days and very rarely tap it. Now God will also, he'll come down too, and he'll come through the gifts. But if you want a continual abiding place, we're going to have to find him with him. And he says, you are the temple of the living God. I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. He wants to walk again in the earth through you, through the Lord Jesus. He wants to heal again through the Lord Jesus, through you. He wants to heal the body, but the Father wants the indwelling. That's what he wants. He wants the indwelling. You're the temple. Everyone say, I am the temple of the living God. I am your temple. Father, I am your temple. You dwell in me. You walk in me. You're with me. You never leave me. Hallelujah. And so he says, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Now watch this. Wherefore, you're going to like this one. Come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing and I will receive you. What does that mean to you? Well, we got to kind of get away from the world, discipline ourselves a little bit from the world system. How many of you ever tried to discipline yourself against stuff? He never really asked you to discipline yourself because you don't really have that power. He says, come out from among them. Where are you coming to? He says, I will receive you. Right? He says, come out from the world. So where are you going? If you're going to come out from the world, you got to go somewhere. He said, I'll receive you. Where was he? He said, you're the temple of the living God. I will dwell in you. So the temple was God's place of fellowship and habitation. And you called you out from the world to come into the temple. That means you got to come inside. And he says, I'll receive you there. Isn't that amazing? He'll receive us in us. Yeah, that's right. He will. He says, come out from among them. See, you have to understand this word is preached from the perspective of the Father, not ours. When we say come out from among them, that means, oh, I just need to get away from all that. No, he said, come out from the world system. Come out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing. I'll receive you. But where is he speaking from? He already said it in the previous verse. He said, I will dwell in you. You're the temple. Come out from the world and come into the temple of the living God. And I will be a father to you. Next verse. You will be my sons and daughters. And I'll be a father unto you. He receives you. He receives you. Amen. Now go to Matthew 6:6. You're familiar with this one. Jesus fully understood this. You remember in John? Go to John 2:18. I'm just going to share different perspectives. Then I'm going to walk you through the first three chapters of Ephesians, just different parts of it, and I'm going to show you something pretty marvelous. I'm going to build a foundation for it. The biggest hurdle to ever get somebody through is like, I already have that. I already know that. Got it. Got it. Thank you. Got it. That's the big hurdle. Yeah, I know God's in me. Well, if you really knew and were connecting with Father God, you would be connecting with his manifest presence. Then you'd be connecting with his great love, and then you'd be connecting with his power. And he would be filling your temple to overflowing, and he would be breaking out of your temple if you're really meeting with him. You see what I mean? So I know everybody knows that God's in them, just like they know, yes, Jesus is in me. But that has to be a reality to us, not just a foundation. That's a positional truth, but they're always there. But you won't receive the benefit of that until you give the attention of your faith to it and you allow the Holy Spirit to build that realm. Once you do, it'll become so alive. It's a temple. It's a living place within you. All of the kingdom of God. The most important part about Father coming, and I always say I brought him down, but really he was already there. But I brought him from my belief system from way up there to in here. That was huge because I was having the Holy Ghost and I was working the Word of God, but Father was still up there. You understand what I'm talking about? And when I was praying to some Father that was far away. And Father doesn't like that. Father wanted to be all up in your mix. Like everything else, when you pray to the Father, he was supposed to be right there when you prayed for him, not the distance. And when the distance is there, it will cause unanswered prayer and it will cause a lack of fellowship. God wanted to live in you. He wanted to be with you. That's what he wants. You are where he wants to live. You are his dwelling place. You just got to understand that about the Father. He said, if that's the case, then how come I don't ever experience him? Because you don't know how to get through that veil. And that veil, because he's still way up there. Only your belief system can come in agreement with where he really is. Amen. Jesus knew this. Look at John 2:18. It says, then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? And he answered, destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up. Now, he knew that that was going to throw their mind out. But he also knew he was the temple of his Father. He said, destroy this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days. That was their sign. 40 years we were building this temple. They didn't know what he was saying. Didn't have a clue. He knew he was the temple, though. This spake the temple of his body. He says, know you not. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. When I got that revelation in the last couple of days, there's been a lot of stuff that's changed in 2 days. When I realized that the living God actually does abide in my temple, I started to let fewer things in my outer court. Do you know what I mean? Your body is the temple, the outer court. I let fewer things around that outer court now and in through the eye gates or ear gates, because Father God is abiding. And that is a reality. And you can go many years without that reality. Oh yeah, I know that. It doesn't matter what you know. It's what you're experiencing inside. Amen. Let me share this with you. Go to Matthew 6. This is huge for you to identify the Father within, fellowship with him within. It's talking to him, praying from within. It's very big. If there's distance there, you probably won't get answered prayer. Not a lot of it anyway. Matthew 6:6. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Now we should all know what that is now. The inner sanctuary of the heart. The kingdom of God within. Thy inner sanctuary. The temple of God within. And when thou hast shut the door to the world, that door will get shut pretty easy once you start learning to move in. Here's the key. When you enter into the heart, there's going to be a wall and a barrier there when you're not used to doing that. It's going to be very unnatural. And if you're used to outwardly touching God to say, take a CD, put a worship song in and get it going where some presence gets on you. If you're used to doing that, what will happen as soon as you hit a wall, you'll go back to what you know. Amen. Because that's a pathway that was created before. That was a perception. I know how to touch him there. I get some worship music. I get his presence. But see, it's necessary. You learn to move into the interior realm because that's where everything's going on. That's where the kingdom's birthing. That's where the fellowship really releases from the interior temple. God manifests his glory from within. The river of God broke out on the right side of the temple and then it began to flow out. So you must learn to move into that dimension. It's a very large dimension, but it's very dark when there's no light given to it. Amen. So you're entering into the realm of the interior kingdom. It says thy Father, which is in that place, he'll reward you open. So it tells you to move into that, right? Watch this. Where are you now? When you move into thy closet in the interior place of the kingdom of God, the Father's there. What's the next thing he tells you to do? Verse 7, when you pray, use not reputations. Now you're in position right now. Now watch what it says. After this manner pray, verse 9. Our Father, which art in heaven. That blows you away, don't it? Where's the Father? Where are you positioned? He tells you to position within. He says, go in the inner sanctuary. And then it says, my Father, which art in heaven. That'll blow your noggin a little bit if you still think heaven's way up there. Amen. I would go into that realm and I say, my Father, which art in heaven. See? Because heaven was still way up there. And I was still here. That's where the renewing of the mind comes. Because as long as heaven's way up there, you're not going to experience the fullness of heaven here. Because your belief system is separated. Something that God did not want the separation. God allowed his Son to die to remove the separation. That's what Jesus did. He removed the separation. You're going to have to get used to the idea that heaven is within you. I know that's hard. If the kingdom of God's in you, what do you think that is? You think the kingdom of God and heaven's two different things? If the Father's in you, is he in heaven? But if he's not in heaven, where is he? For if he's in you, he's not in heaven. Oh, really? So he stepped out of heaven to live in you. But he's not in heaven anymore. You understand what I mean? So your mind's going to have to be renewed to that. And it's your faith that draws that down. It draws it down by applying that word. I'm moving here with the expectancy of Father is in my temple. When the temple of God was on the earth, heaven came down into the temple. You see that? And heaven manifested from the temple. There's no difference. Heaven comes down into your temple. You are the temple God wants to both abide in and manifest from. And so you got to get used to God being in the temple. You got to use the fellowship in here. And let him move all of that into here, because this is where you're going to need it. Amen. From a position of the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. It's right here. It's not up there. It's still up there. Don't get me wrong. God is not limited to space and time. But for you to be effective, it all moves in the realm of heart, because this is where God the Father wants to dwell, in your temple. You got to get used to that. Well, I'm not worthy of that. That's your belief system. But Jesus himself said he presents you faultless before the presence of his glory. Inside, he leads you to the Father and presents you faultless before him, because he made you faultless. He said you're unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. He presents you that way because you're going in by the blood. You're going in by the new creation. It's a new creation that allowed you to go there in the first place. It's the new creation that allowed the Holy Ghost, Father, and Son to live and abide in you. So you got to live in those scriptures and live in them and meditate them and work it and work it. The temple of God is within me. I am the temple of the living God. Father is in me. Father, you are in me. Now, when you first do that, you're getting through some renewing of the mind. So there are things in your preconceived belief system going to fight that. That's natural. All that will give way about the first time the Father baptizes you with some serious love. You'll forget about all that. Amen? When God starts inhabiting your interior man and starts filling you with his glory, you'll forget about. Amen? So you see the position you prayed, our Father which art in heaven. See the position you're praying from? Where are you praying to the Father? Here. But he's in a heavenly place. That's why Jesus, in speaking to Nicodemus, he tells him, he says, no man's ascended to heaven except the Son of Man that's descended from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven while I'm talking to you. He was in that positional seat. That's why he said, listen, the Father is doing the works. My Father which art in heaven is dwelling in me. He's doing the works. We are one. My and my Father are one. I am in him and he is in me. And that's what they got upset about. How can he make himself equal with God? Don't think the religious spirits won't come out on you either. You're not equal that way. You're not deity, but Jesus in his glory shared his position as the firstborn. He gave you an inheritance. He came and purchased it to give it to you. That's what he shares, but he made you one with them in a place of communion and fellowship and abiding. He said, Father, thou art in me and I'm in them. Do you see that? Let's look at that for a minute and then I'll take you to Ephesians. Go to John 14. I'd take these scriptures right here, I'd live in them. Once you start meeting with Father here, you have made a huge milestone in your walk with God. I mean, absolute huge milestone. You're going to start seeing the Father manifest himself in greater and greater ways, and you will begin to see answered prayer. Hallelujah, because you're one with him. He did not want the separation. He allowed his Son to die to remove the separation. If he wanted separation, he would have kept you as a Levite. Do you know about the Levites? Anybody who wants to go under the law? I'm just amazed. The people who want to go keep the law. You know what Hebrews says? We have an altar that we eat from which they have no right to eat. Did you know that? You know what he's talking about? We're partakers of the heavenly calling. We're partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. They couldn't get up. Their priesthood was limited to here. They could not partake. You know why? Because Jesus was not a Levite. He was a king out of Judah. He was a high priest that sitteth at the right hand of God, called after the order of Melchizedek, called from an oath. His kingdom, his priesthood, his temple is a heavenly tabernacle. The Levites could not go. He couldn't eat from theirs, and they couldn't eat from his. You know, he could not walk into the Holy of Holies. He was not a Levite. He did not walk in the Holy of Holies in the earth. He stayed in the outer court of the temple. He never walked into the Holy of Holies in the earth. He didn't have access. Only the high priest from a Levitical line could go in there. He was not a Levite. So do you want to go back to that one, or do you want to just stay up in there where he's at? The whole thing is he brought it all up into heaven, cleansed the heaven, then he brought it all down to you. You got it. Everyone say, I got it. Your faith is the only thing that's going to make that a reality. Let me give you this, and I want to jump into Ephesians. John 14, verse 20. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. That's a hard one. See, your mind will never attain that scripture. Those are the scriptures your mind in 100 years will never obtain. That's spiritual. That's a spiritual place that only you going there and experiencing the reality are you going to ever understand that. Don't even think about your mind ever understanding that. And that day, you're going to know that I am in my Father and you. What's he say? I'm in my Father, you are in me, and then I'm in you. We're all made perfect in one. That's Father coming down to dwell in your temple with the Lord Jesus and the Holy Ghost. You, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost dwelling in a spiritual habitation within. Verse 23, and Jesus answered and said to them, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. He's actually talking about coming into the born again experience. And my Father will love him. And we, look at that, we, Father and Son, will come unto him and make our abode with him. Does the Father want to live in you or what? The only one that could make that happen was Jesus. That's why he sent him. I was sent by the Father to do his will. The Father didn't want the separation. He wanted to live in you, not among you, in. That's what he wanted. When you get that revelation that you are where God the Father wants to dwell, and only the blood of Jesus could have made that a reality, the glory of it is just awesome. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Now, Ephesians is very interesting because Ephesians talks about your place in heavenly places, and it's the only book in the whole Bible that actually mentions the word heavenly places and your position and your inheritance and all of that. And so, again, before we read this, right now, a lot of times, well, if you're like me, my perspective of heavenly places, you know, when we were ascending into the right hand of God for a whole year, we were ascending because that's where it was to me. Do you understand that? That's how far it was. We had to move up into where it was because that's where it was. And I taught ascension. You can ascend. But since then, took a whole year to bring it back into the veil of the heart. I got it. He actually brought all that in here. Isn't it amazing that all we were doing going up, all I had to do is go in? Here's the key. You go up, you're going to meet a lot of stuff because you got to go through second heaven. You got to do all that stuff. When you go in, you just step out from among them in. The only gate you really have to open is the gate of the heart. That's the only one that has to open with your faith. The only way the enemy will stop you is to try to darken your understanding to your true inheritance, because he can't go up in there. He has no access up in there. That's not his place. Father's going to show you real quick how big he is in there when you start entering in to the temple, the holiest of all, by the new and living way. Hallelujah. He gave me an answer to where the knowledge of the future lives. something I've been asking for a very long time. You know what was in the temple and tabernacle? The candlestick. Had seven eyes. It's the seven lampstand. It's the seven spirits of God and the seven eyes of the Lord. It's different than the seven spirits of God, but there were the seeing eyes. He said those seven eyes that run to and fro. Jesus said, I walk by the light of the day. I mean, the Spirit of the Lord told me, he says, I never once ever called you to walk in darkness. It was never my plan. You were supposed to live in light. And that light was be the light of man. And that light, I would set the light in a dark world. And when the light would shine out into the future, when your light gets bright enough, you'll stop stumbling because you'll start seeing way ahead of you because you realize the world's very dark. When you're in the light, you'll start seeing everything. The brighter it gets, the more you see, so you stumble less and less. The lampstand shines up. So is there a predetermined limit in which the light can shine? You know, the light travels at the speed of light. It's very fast. The light go up into one day in advance? Can it go 7 days in advance? Jesus knew exactly what was happening. When Lazarus got sick and they said, come now. And he waited 2 days and they got really mad at him. He says, do I not walk by the light of the day? He knew that they were laying traps for him. He saw them. Even to the death of one of his good friends. He let him die and they were really upset with him by the time he showed up there. By this time, Lord, he stinketh. You could have come, but now he's dead. He goes, did I not tell you if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Do you think that death has any distance? He's walking by the light. He walked in and raised him from the dead. But he wasn't going to walk into a trap. Amen? That's the kind of leadership I want. I don't want to stumble no more. But the light must be generated out of your temple. Well, you're believing light to come on you from the outside. You're trying to operate in a world of darkness. Light that must generate from the inside. It's not you generating. You know, we're far enough to know in us, in our flesh, there's no good thing. We're not talking about your flesh. We're talking about the inner priesthood of the new man, the new creation where the temple of God is, where he sets the lampstand, the light of heaven in you. I don't know about you, but I'm going to completely walk by the light. That's why he said, lead me not in temptation. The light of God will keep you from falling. You got to learn to turn it on. We got to find the heart. I'm like, Father, you put all this in us and we're still stumbling. Having a hard time finding what's inside us. I mean, can you imagine God? He says, look, we're going to put everything inside them. Then we'll for sure they'll be able to find it. We won't make them go travel to one city hundreds of miles away, you know, in case the devil barricades the place, you know, let's just stick it all up inside them. It'll be in a heavenly place, but it'll be up inside them. So the enemy can't steal it. We'll give them the Holy Spirit to show them how to find themselves. That's all you had to do. I mean, you had a hard time finding the realm of the heart. It took me 15 years in ministry to find this place. It's always there. I said, I can't believe. Because you don't know how to enter here, you're going to operate without. That's how the church, they don't know how to know where God is here. They go without and they start building outside. And that's why there's no power. That's why there's no expression of glory. There's no heaven out here because they don't know how to touch heaven inside. They want heaven to fall down out here. Fall. Instead of come through. Ephesians 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Amen. Look at verse 11. In whom also Christ we have obtained an inheritance. See that? That inheritance is in the all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And then verse 17, he's going to tell you, now you're going to need to pray because for you to see this inheritance, you can't locate it. It's like you're going out to search for treasure in the sea. You have to have special instrumentation to find it. Amen? That's kind of what it's like. And so God gives you special instrumentation to find an inheritance that cannot be located with a natural eye, but it's the real inheritance. But if you don't see it, you won't get it. The enemy will blind your mind to it and you won't get it. You'll try to work your own inheritance here. Amen. He's already got this system locked down here. You try to operate up in here without God, he'll lock it down. That's why he makes it so hard for you even to pay your bills. He owns the system you work in. But God can trump that one, amen? So you got to see your inheritance in verse 17. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Those are three eyes right there. Spirit of wisdom, spirit of revelation, spirit of knowledge. See, you've got to see the unseen. But that's how faith works. You see what he's prepared for you. You see the inheritance. You see the spiritual blessings. You see the realm of the kingdom. He says, the eyes of your understanding, there's a fourth eye right there, being enlightened. Eye of prophecy is a fifth. Eye of discernment is a sixth. And can't remember what the seven is right now. And the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. See, you lighten. Why? You can see. Because all of the realm of the spirit is unseen to the natural eye, but the word of God paints the picture perfectly. Amen? So you have to have inspired word, not knowledge. That's why you ever try to open your Bible and read you a couple chapters and go to bed. That's not inspired word. You got to get the Holy Ghost up in this Bible. He's the one that takes these words and makes them come alive. He's the one that makes a reality out of this word. He's the one that will take it and open up the realm of your heart that's perfectly described right here. And then he'll teach you how to get in there. Then he'll manifest. Now, I need to tell you this. Father himself sits on the throne. Jesus himself sits on the throne. Those two are present in you by the omnipresence of the Holy Spirit. But they are one, and he perfectly represents them. Do you understand that? Holy Spirit is the omnipresent one, and he represents them perfectly. When you're talking to Father, you are talking to Father, because the Holy Spirit represents the Father perfectly. When you're talking to Jesus, Holy Spirit's perfectly representing Jesus. That's what he does. He's the omnipresent, and he's the representation. That's why the Father called him a gift and sent him down to help us. Amen? Glory to God. But Father dwelleth in you in presence by the Holy Spirit. Am I blowing your mind yet? So we got heavenly places, obtained inheritance. He's telling you to pray. You need to start praying this prayer every day, folks, friends, family. Pray, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Pray. For the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Christ. The eyes of understanding being enlightened that I might know what is the hope of his calling. You need to know what his calling is. You need to know that his calling, there's multifaceted dimensions of his calling. He was to restore your position. He was to open a veil in you where the Father could come and dwell. There's a lot of things. He wants everything he inherited downloaded into you. We've gotten a lot of that. And then he says, you may know the hope of his calling. What is the glory of the riches of his inheritance in the saints? He wants you to know your inheritance. He wants you to see it. How many of you get excited if you got an inheritance? Raise your hand. I would get excited. See, there's two people who can read that, and one of them will go home, yeah, I got an inheritance. And I'll go, oh my God, I got an inheritance. You know what? The Holy Ghost done went off and showed you with a light bulb. You mean I don't have to work the rest of my life? Yeah, you're going to work, but you're going to work in God's plan, but he's going to unload that inheritance. That's just not pie in the sky. That's what we're after here. That's what I'm dedicating my life. That's what we're praying for, to find out how to unlock this kingdom. Not for it just to be there in theory. It's got to manifest. It's got to demonstrate. And all the keys are being fulfilled. That's why it's so important Father God had to get here. Because you're going to pray to the Father for it all to release. You're going to pray in the name of Jesus. Because you're representing the name for which he's given everything to. All power has been given to the name. See, Jesus came in the Father's name. You come in the name of Jesus. See? But the Father and Jesus are backing you up. Holy Ghost is doing what he's always done. He does the manifestation. Whew. He's going to manifest. I know he is. faith coming alive. Boy, when the Father gets going off inside of you and he fills you with glory, guess what goes out the window, out the doors? I mean, runs. Fear runs from the love of God. Fear runs from the love of God. See, he sheds the love of the Father in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is shedding the love of God. When he does, fear's running, doubt's running, unbelief's running. He's going to clean your heart out and he's going to fill it with himself. When he does, there won't be any doubt. There won't be any unbelief. There won't be any fear. There will be answered prayer. There will be demonstration. That's why Father had to get up in there, fill you up. You're going to be undone. So you got to see the revelation. So he's telling you, this thing's in heavenly places. Got to see the revelation. All right. Then he tells you that verse 19, what is exceeding greatness is the power to us word who believe according to the work of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. That's how he received all the spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Christ received it as the firstborn on your behalf. All of it's in heavenly places, right? And then he tells you in chapter 2, you hath he raised together, made us sit together in heavenly places. Lots of stuff going on in heavenly places. We got to get all that into the heart. He's going to tell you how to do that before the book's over. All right? Now look at verse 18, chapter 2. It says, for through him, Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. You see that? See, Jesus had to grant you the access to the Father's kingdom. One Spirit. Now, that Spirit there was not the Holy Spirit. That was the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, the stuff you got born again with. That was a law of life. The Holy Spirit took that law of life and recreated your spirit with it. That's the one Jesus paid for you to have. Can't get into all that. We'd be forever. Just take it. Amen. Where you have access by the life that he created into your new nature. Your nature gave you the access. It's the law of the Spirit of life. The Holy Ghost gets baptized into that. When you're born again, you're baptized in the law of the Spirit of life. And then the Holy Ghost comes and he's baptized into that life. Okay? Two different things going on there. But that's not our message. So we have access, right? We're no more strangers. And when he says we both have access, he was actually talking about Jews and Gentiles. Now we both have access to the Father. We both have access to the Father. He opened the veil. Now we're no more strangers or foreigners, fellow citizens, built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets. Verse 21, all the building fitly framed together groweth in the holy temple of the Lord. Now I'm getting somewhere with all this. In whom we're builded together for habitation. That's what he wanted, habitation. Now go, let's get into chapter 3. All right. Here we begin again, verse 12. In whom have boldness and access. Now this is real important. Because I'm going to show you something here in a minute. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. You see that? Telling you again, you have access. Now he's going to tell you something here. He says, wherefore I desire you faint not at my tribulation. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's praying to the Father, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. See that riches of glory? Going to pull dunamis strength down. What was a sevenfold inheritance? Worthy is the Lamb that received power, riches, wisdom, strength. He's asking for the strength out of riches and glory to come down. Grant you according to the riches of glory to be strengthened with might, dunamis, by his Spirit. Where? In your inner man. That Christ might dwell in your heart by faith. And you missed it. But I'll fill you in. That verse 17 right there is the pinnacle verse of all of Ephesians. Now, Christ may dwell in your heart where? In your heart how? By faith. Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. But he was asking something to happen right before that, that was going to help Christ dwell in your heart by faith. And why is Christ dwelling in your heart? Now, if you back up, something you may not have seen, was you were blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He says you were raised together and made to sit together with him in heavenly places in Christ. Everything he did for you, he did in him. What did he say? You would be in me. And all that I have purchased, you would be in me. And then all of that would be in you. He's now bringing all of the heavenly places down into the veil of the heart. That all of this that I've described, all of this inheritance, all that I've done for you, all the heavenly places, now Christ, in the revelation of Christ in you, must dwell now in your heart. Here. By faith. Say, by faith. It's not going to dwell any other way. Oh yeah, I got Christ in my heart. Amen. He was asking for a little bit more than that to dwell in your heart. You had to have the revelation of the full inheritance of everything he did for you. Your ascendancy, your position in a heavenly place, and seeing all of it, and then all of that to come to dwell here in your heart by faith. Because in a minute he's going to tell you the Father's up in there too. Now, before you do that, he asked that the Father would strengthen your inner man with all might by his Spirit. Why? It's going to take strength from heaven for your inner man to receive that by faith because of the pull of the flesh and the world and the devil. When you're trying to get all this in by faith, you're going to have some strength. Your spirit man must be in ascendancy. He must build that man up to receive all that by faith. Because you're not going to wake up one day and get it all down in there. You got to work that. Your spirit man has to be full. If it's weak and beat up and your flesh is running the show in your mind and your flesh and the devil's running everything in your life, how do you think you'll ever get anything rooted and grounded in there? You won't. It won't mean a thing in the world to you. Your spirit man, if it doesn't get built up in the strength of Almighty God to withstand the wiles of the devil, see the wiles of the devil? The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God, the pulling down of strongholds. You ain't got to go out there and pull those strongholds down. He said, casting down the imaginations and every high system of thought that is exalting itself against the knowledge of Christ. You got to pull that stuff down there. Your spirit man must be strong for that stuff to root in. That's why you got to pray, oh, strengthen me with all might so my inner man grows up to receive all that into the veil of the heart. Is it not? The enemy's going to entangle you into this world system. He'll entangle your mind. He entangles your flesh. And he fills you with the atmosphere of the system of this world to get you working up in this system. And when he does that, he makes your inheritance, it seem like it's as far as the east from the west. He makes God feel like he's just way up there and you can't ever find him. Do you understand that? That's the way he works. He wants to cut you off of what's already inside you. Don't even think that he's not good at his job. Do you know what kind of job he has? Just for a minute. God put all this inside you. He's got to keep you from finding it, what's inside you. That's why his system's so elaborate. That's why your inner man must be built up in the strength of God to receive. So Christ and all that he's inherited may dwell. That's why when you go to start trying to acknowledge every good thing that's in you in Christ, you know, you're doing this and your mind's just exploding with stuff. You're all up solving yesterday's problem. You're trying to do this. You know why? Because your spirit is not in ascendancy. Your mind is. It's running the show. And every time you go try to pray, it just talks you right out of, well, you better take the trash out right now. It's got to go out now. You got to clean that kitchen counter now. The couch needs straightening now. I mean, pay the bill now. You've got to call that person now. Can't sit still. Your spirit's weak. How's anything going to get rooted up in there? You have to understand, for heaven to come down, he roots it up into your spirit. Your faith must bring it where it already is. Bring it. Everyone say, bring it. Bring it. It's already there. It's always been there from the day you're born again. It's your enemy that's darkened the eyes of your understanding and pulled your mind and your will and your flesh to serve his system so you never go visiting what belongs to you. That's why you got to work your faith. I mean, you got to be a bulldog tenacity and say, no, Christ dwells in me. I am the temple of the living God. Come out from among them. When he tries to pull my mind and my body out the way, no, I pull it into the temple. I pull it in. I come out from, I touch not the unclean thing. My Father receives me. Jesus presents me faultless. Faultless in the presence of his glory. Father, you dwell in me. You are with me, your temple. Christ in me, the hope of glory. All that you inherited, all the heavenly places that are in Christ are in me because I'm in you and you're in me. So there is no separation from heavenly places. You're going to have to work that. If you're not willing to work that, the enemy, I promise you, by next week, will have you all forgotten about that one. And you'll be out here working something, grinding in his system. That's what he does. That's why God said in the very beginning, if you're ever going to do anything, you better love me with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. That's the only way you're going to get it done. I want it all. But you got to learn the process. So Christ may dwell in your hearts, you being rooted and grounded in love. So you got to be grounded in the Father's love. The first, notice the rooting and groundings, not the fullness of God's love. It's the rooting and grounding first. You got to be rooted in that acceptance. See, accepted in the beloved. I'm accepted. And then he gets in that you'll be filled with all the fullness. God's going to fill you inside you. Verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that's working where? Working where? Man, I'm telling you, somebody better have something working inside them. If you're going to go to work, what must we do to work the works of God? This is the work of God that you believe. Do nothing, and I promise you the enemy will take it all. Cover it all over and introduce you to his system. He'll promise you a whole lot. He just won't deliver very much. Everything that's in Christ is in you. Everyone say, everything that's in Christ is in me. Go back to Ephesians 2. I'm so excited. See, my faith now is starting to grow. It's starting to grow fast because the Father done got up inside. And now when Father gets up in there, he drives the fear out. Once he drives the fear out, his perfect love is casting out the fear. Once the fear is driven out, you have a foundation that cannot be shaken, one which the Father will start manifesting the promises of God out of. It's the mystery of faith. You weren't born equal when you were born in the earth, but you were born equal when you were born in God. You have an inheritance. Verse 10, you're going to understand this one now, 1 in 10, chapter 1, verse 10. It says that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, Galatians 4:4 will tell you the fullness of time is when Christ came. That is the dispensation we live in now. It says in the dispensation of the fullness of time, which is the one we live in right now, we are in a dispensation called the fullness of times. He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and that which is in the earth, even in him. Heavenly places, you came into Christ. The heavenly inheritance came into Christ. Christ merged everything. You're in all of that, and all that's in you. That's what that scripture is talking about. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to give you one more to crown it all. This one's a good one. Go to Ephesians 4:6. See, Christ had to dwell in your heart first by faith. Then the Father's coming. Man, the Father, he's it. He is it. Jesus said, he goes, man, if you knew where I was going, you would rejoice that I'm leaving. Because I'm about to introduce you to somebody. You think being with me was something. Why do I introduce you to him? You're going to be with me where I am. I knew that to be the right hand of God, but now I know the right hand of God was Christ, was in the Father's bosom. He was in him. That's where the right hand of God is. It's a place in the Father. And then Christ invited us into the Father. And then the Father, the Christ brought all that into us. All right, you ready for this? There's one God, verse 6, Ephesians 4, verse 6, we're closing. One God and Father of all. Look at this. Are you ready for this? He's above all. You see that? Where's that? He's above all. See, he is above all. See, that's where he was, above. But notice where Jesus brought him. And he's through all and in you all. He's all compassing because though he's above, but you know why he says above all? Because he's above the world system and the thrones and dominions of the world system. But he took all of that position and brought it into you. There is a place in you that's above the thrones and the dominions of this world system. If you really want something, you are the secret place of the Most High God now. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your left hand. It will not come now your dwelling. He took the secret place of the Most High, covered you in the shadow of his wing that was there. He brought it inside you. He put the secret place of the Most High up inside you. He put it up inside you. Psalms 91's been planted within you. You can go there, and that place is far above the principalities and the powers of this age. Your inheritance is locked up inside you, and the devil can never steal it from that place. He can't have that. The only thing he can do is keep you away from it. He cannot steal it ever. What's up inside you is heavenly places. It's far above the principalities and powers of this age. He put it up there, and then he brought it all down. In Christ, it's up inside you, and the devil can never take it. Say, never! The only way he can take it, my friends, is to keep you out of it, to blind the eyes of your understanding so you never see it, much less go after it. How many of us have been living for God 20 years with all this up inside of us and still have not accessed it? That is going to change. Make your journey to the veil of the inner sanctuary of the heart. Begin to acknowledge every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. Acknowledge the Holy Ghost and understand his role. Acknowledge the Lord Jesus and understand his role. Acknowledge the Father and understand his role. Acknowledge the kingdom of God and understand its role. Acknowledge the wellspring of life of John 4 and understand its role. Acknowledge the living promise of God that's abiding in you. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. There's a lot of stuff up in you. Once you start giving light to it, that realm will get bigger than this one and get more alive. You'll understand how to walk in faith. Walking in faith is not walking blindly. Oh, no, 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 no. I walk by what I see. I walk by what I feel. I walk by what I hear. It's just I'm seeing another dimension. I'm feeling another dimension. And I'm hearing another dimension. We've been trying to walk by faith. I don't walk by what I see, feel, or hear. Not in this realm, I don't. I walk one where I see the kingdom quite perfectly. I hear the kingdom of God. I see the kingdom of God. I feel the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is up in me and I walk by it. And Father God will come and dwell in me and walk in me. We're living in an hour and a day now that Father God himself is going to walk in us. He wants to walk again. He wants to get up inside us and walk again and show himself to the world. I would imagine he's about tired of what he's seeing in the church today. He wants to come and show the world, this is what I look like. And open the veil and pour out glory and power. The temple of God is with man. We are the temple of the living God. We are the temple. Our Father, as God had said, I will dwell in you. I will walk in you. Come out from the world system and I'll receive you in the interior veil. And I will be a father to you and you will be my sons and my daughters. Father, open the veil of the heart. Open it wide. Open the eyes of understanding. Let the seven eyes of the Lord open up in this place. Let the spirit of wisdom open. Understanding, counsel, knowledge, discernment, prophecy. Let it open wide, Father. Let it open the veil of the heart. Open the corridors. Open the gates. The kingdom of God is within us. Open wide, you doors. Open wide, you gates. Let them release. Let them release. In your mighty name, Jesus. Amen, amen.